Our reading for September 23rd is from the book of Titus, chapter 1. Titus, chapter 1. The book of Titus was a letter that was written, again, to an individual, just like writing to Timothy. And as far as we can tell, it was written right after 1 Timothy was written, but there is a gap between Titus and 2 Timothy. So let's go ahead and read from chapter 1. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy or for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. So Paul starts out this letter to Timothy very similar to the way he starts off other letters, but his introduction is rather quick, jumping right into verse 5, the qualifications and instructions concerning elders. But he basically introduces himself, not that Titus really needed it, but that is for the benefit of others who would read it as well. Titus was well acquainted with Paul and would know him. But he states, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, identifying himself as an apostle, as he's done in other letters, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, that is, to bring people to a knowledge of the truth and help them to build their faith, and this accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages, or your version might say, worlds began, and or the world, rather. And that's appropriate since God came up with this plan to save man before he made creation. And so at the proper time, manifested in his word through the preaching with which I've been entrusted. So at the proper time, he sent Jesus, and Jesus died for us, and Paul was chosen as one of those who would go out to proclaim that truth. Verse 4, to Titus, my true child and a common faith. This was a way that Paul described himself regarding Timothy as well, this idea that they would be like children to him as a father. That is, he brought them up in the faith, you might say. Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Verse 5, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If you remember, when Paul was on his missionary journeys, they went out and taught the truth. There were people that obeyed and congregations that became established because of that. And then as they came back through, they appointed elders in those locations. Well, here he's talking about Crete and saying that this has been left undone. Now, there's a few reasons why that could be left undone. The most logical to me is that at the time, there needed to be a maturing in the faith before anyone could be appointed to shepherd those local flocks. And that may be because, you know, there wasn't a strong Jewish presence, or if there was, they were not of those that obeyed the gospel. So there's a little bit of differences between Crete and those churches that were able to have elders appointed immediately. That's just an educated guess on my part as to why this would have been left undone. But based on the descriptions that he gives here in the book of Titus, I think that that's a logical conclusion. But take it as such. It's just me trying to fill in a few gaps here along the way. But he jumps right into some qualifications: above reproach, husband of one wife, children being believers, children that aren't open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, and then gives some explanation for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. Again, we've talked about this before, in that above reproach does not mean that no one could ever make any accusation. It means that those accusations wouldn't necessarily be true. There's always people that would make a false accusation against those that would try to live a righteous life. So he says he must not be arrogant or quick-tempered. If there's anything about doing the work of an elder, you need a more moderate temper. You can't be somebody that jumps to conclusions. You can't be somebody that will get angry quickly. You have to be able to work in a spirit of love and not any arrogance or anger that might be going on. It says he can't be a drunkard, can't be violent, can't be greedy for gain. They'd be put in a position in which they might have control over some amount of funds of the Lord's church, so they can't be somebody who's a covetous person. But they must be hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. As we talked about when we were going through the book of Timothy, you need to realize that the description of elders is the goal of every Christian. It's not some superset of standards, but it is the standard that all Christians should be striving for. Verse 9, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. There's our maturity. Maturity comes in twice here. First in the idea of being even-tempered, and now in the idea of being grounded in the faith so that you can be strong, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, okay, to teach the truth, and also to rebuke those that contradict it or bring up something else, to be able to protect the flock from that false teaching. It says, for there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. So there's likely already an issue with Judaizing teachers coming to this particular area, since he makes mention of them. Either that, or he expects that they will reach there at some point. I will admit, I don't know as much about Crete and the background of the inhabitants there as I do of other places, so I can't give as much information in that regard. These that are empty talkers and deceivers, he says, they must be silenced. They upset whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. That is contrary to sound doctrine. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. So this is basically from the writings, if you will. And I have a footnote that tells me that this is likely from Epimenides of Crete. Just kind of throwing that in there so we have some reference to what Paul is using as his source material. Sometimes particular traits of society or culture will work their way into the daily lives of all people and permeate it to the point that they become known for certain things. And that seems to be what Paul is alluding to here. And he says, this testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply. Not because Titus is being told to lord it over them or to come down really hard on them or anything like that, but because these are things that needed to be changed. And as a preacher of God's word, it's our job to preach the things that need to be worked on, not just the things that make us feel good. So rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. That's the goal, to be sound in the faith. Not to put them down or hold them down or anything like that, but simply to help them to be sound in the faith. Not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. So there's a lot of work that Titus is going to have to be doing in order to ground these particular people in the faith, as well as protect them from these outside influences that may or may not be appealing to some of those cultural traits within them. Verse 15, to the pure all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. This is likely making a reference to some of the things that those Judaizing teachers might bring in regarding some foods being clean, some foods not, those types of things. I would refer you back to Romans chapter 14 to review that if you have questions along that line. He says, their minds and their consciences are defiled. In verse 16, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They're detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. They profess godliness, but inward they're those whitewashed sepulchers. They're full of decay and death. We need to make sure that both the inside and the outside match. That we turn our heart toward God, and if our heart is turned toward God, then our actions will be toward God and righteous behavior as well. Thank you for listening today. We'll go into chapter 2 tomorrow. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.